Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are tuned in to Soccer Radio. Thank you so much for listening. April 16, 2008. I'm Johnny Ventura. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We're broadcasting live out here in San Fernando Valley in the beautiful San Fernando West Valley, overlooking the light. Gorgeous, gorgeous night. We're going to have a great show for you this evening. We have a very special guest that we are going to come to in the next 5 minutes. We have Sharif Fain, who is the co-founder and the director of coaching of a club, FC Barcelona. We're going to talk to him about what's going on over there and also his new endeavors. I understand that he has started something new in the youth soccer community, so we're going to talk to him about that. You're listening to us, Soccer Radio, on bbsradio.com on the World Wide Web. You can check us out there. You can also log on to our website at bbsradio.com/soccerradio. Broadcasting live, this is a syndicated show. As long as you have a computer, you got some speakers, and you have a server to log on the internet, you can listen to us anywhere around the world. So that's really cool. So thank you so much for joining in. We got something special, like I said. We have Sharif Fain going to come on the show very shortly. But first, I want to let you know about our email address. If you want to get involved in the show, ask any questions to our guests or comments about our show, log on to soccerradio@gmail.com. That's soccerradio@gmail.com. Also, we started something new this evening. Unfortunately, this is only for our AOL listeners. So if you happen to be an AOL customer, what you can do is send us an instant message to Soccer Radio Chat. That's Soccer Radio Chat. And we have built a soccer forum chat room. So in other words, this cut out the middleman. You don't have to send us an email to soccerradio@gmail.com. Log on, send us an instant message. We'll send you over to our chat room, and you can automatically type in your questions or comments about the show or to our guest, and we can get them on live for you immediately when we have time. All right? So once again, this is only for our AOL servers. We will have the rest of the servers eventually, but this is only for our AOL servers. Just send us an instant message to Soccer Radio Chat. Once again, that is an instant message to Soccer Radio Chat, and we'll send you over to our soccer chat room. All right? Our show is sponsored tonight. It is sponsored by one of the great forums of soccer right now, SoCalSoccer.com. That's SoCalSoccer.com. The people over there, Dominic, who's the administrator over there at SoCalSoccer.com, he is our sponsor this evening, and because of him, we're listening to the show. So we'd like to thank the good people over there. On a little more serious note, I don't know if you guys heard, but a couple weeks ago, there was a misfortune that happened in the soccer community. For the first weekend that Stay Cup happened, there was a family traveling back from Stay Cup, I believe. It was a player and his family from the boys under 16 Arsenal Southwest team. And unfortunately, they were struck in a head-on collision, and the mother was killed, the Ruiz family. And our prayers and condolences go out to the family. And, of course, anything like that happens, whether we know them or not, in the soccer community, we want to give you our condolences about that. We feel so bad. So we pray that the Reese family is doing well and misfortune that happened to the mom. If you want to donate some money to the Reese family, the good folks over at SoCalSoccer.com have set up a donation form where you can help the Reese family. So please help them with any amount you can give. All you have to do is log on to SoCalSoccer.com. That's SoCalSoccer.com. And just head on there, and there is a link there that you can donate money to the Reese family. So give what you can, okay? Also, there is a clinic that's being put on this Friday, April 18th. And George Sipa and Carlos Guerrero, George Sipa obviously is a very known coach out here in Southern California. He coaches teams from Lasers, from FC Barcelona. He's a trainer for them, and he's very well known. What he's doing is he's putting on a clinic for boys and girls 5 years and up, and that is this Friday, April 18th. That'll be at Wilson Middle School, 300 Madre Street in Pasadena. Wilson Middle School, 300 Madre Street in Pasadena. That's this Friday, April 18th, from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. It's only $20 a player for boys and girls 5 years and up. So we'd like to thank George Seep and Carlos Guerrero for putting on this clinic, and all proceeds will benefit the Ruiz family. So if you can, head on over to SoCalSoccer.com, give your donation. You know, head on over there to the clinic, take your kid, and it's for a good cause. So thank you so much, George Seep and Carlos Guerrero, for stepping up. You're in the Soccer Radio. Thank you so much for listening. It's April 16th. We got a great show for you this evening. First, before we get to our guest, I want to let you know of certain topics that we're going to be broadcasting from our show. Obviously, we covered the Santa Monica High Championship. We had club mergers last week, which was great. We had incredible people send in some emails about that, which we're going to get to the certain emails that just kept coming in even when the show was over. So we got those emails set here, and we're going to let you know. But let you know what's coming up. We're going to cover the, for example, like CSL referees, Coast Soccer League referees. We're going to cover the high cost of club playing. We have Alexi Lalas appearing on our show, which we were supposed to be on our first show, but because of technical difficulties, he could not appear on our show. So he's going to be on our show in a couple weeks. We also have Rampage Soccer Club that we're going to talk to. That's going to be coming up on one of our shows. We'll talk about nutrition. We're going to talk about the League of WPSL, the PDL League, all kinds of stuff that's happening in Southern California and in club with the tournaments and teams getting together and putting up the tryout sign and getting their teams together over the summer, so that way the new season that starts September 1st. So we got all kinds of topics coming up. So if we don't have a topic that you just heard that you'd like to have on this show, get involved. This show is strictly for you guys, man. We started the show for Southern California Soccer. Send us an email at soccerradio@gmail.com. That's soccerradio@gmail.com, all right? And let us know how we're doing, certain topics you want us to cover. We'll be glad to get our interns going. Becky's always on the phone over here, and she's always taking the emails in, and she'll be glad to get on the phones and see what we can do to get those certain topics broadcast right here on Soccer Radio, okay? All right, we are going to come back very shortly. We're going to take about a minute and a half break, so we'll be back very shortly, and we're going to come back to our first guest, Sharif Zane. You're listening to Soccer Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in.
BBS Radio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Soccer Radio. This is Johnny Ventura, and you're listening right here on BBSRadio.com on the streaming World Wide Web. Okay, once again, before we head into our guests, I just want to let you guys know, soccerradio@gmail.com. Go ahead and send us an email if you want any questions or comments with Sharif, our guest. That's coming up very shortly. Also, for you AOL users out there, all you got to do is send me an instant message. I see some of them coming in. We'll get to you very shortly. Send an instant message to Soccer Radio Chat, and we will go ahead and put you right through our question chat room. But do me a favor. A lot of people who are sending in an instant message chat, they got you have it blocked off for any AOL users. You got to open up that thing in order for us to drag you over to our chat room. So in other words, you got to be able to receive instant messages from everybody from AOL. So make sure that is taken care of on the other end. Okay. All right, let's go to our first guest. This gentleman is well known in the soccer community. He's been around for a while. He's got an incredible resume. He is one of the co-founders of FC Barcelona, also the DOC for FC Barcelona. Let's welcome to our Soccer Radio, Sharif Zane. Sharif, good evening. Thank you so much for being with us. How you doing?
Good evening. What a great concept to have the radio for soccer. It's amazing.
Well, thank you.
Soccer's come a long ways.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for doing the show with us. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. So tell me something. Let's go back a little bit. Obviously, everybody knows you're one of the co-founders of FC Barcelona.
Correct.
And the DOC over there. What happened over there? You're no longer with them. What happened between you and Paul? What's going on?
Nothing. Paul stepped down. We began the club 10 years ago, and Paul stepped down. And my philosophy was to keep the club a little smaller, downsized. This way I'm able to meet and to know all the kids within our club and not merge and become it bigger. And it became too big. And when it becomes big, there's not really the control because we don't have the facilities to control that many teams. When I was at Chelsea, they have 35 fields at Chelsea. They're able to control and to be able to manage the teams. Here we're so small, and it's difficult to expand without having the quality that we had before. That was basically the reason.
So is Paul still now, is Paul the main guy over there at FC Barcelona, or did he leave as well?
Paul stepped down, but I'm sure he's still consulting and still working with the new president that they hired.
And when did you leave FC Barcelona?
This was a matter of a few weeks ago when we decided to form our own club. In other words, the teams that trained with me at my location, Pasadena High School, are the teams that stayed with me in my new club. It was just the name, you know, Sharif Zain CZ Soccer Club, just of our identities. And my philosophy in club is to be able to keep the kids technically sound and to be coached by the same philosophy. In other words, to be able to teach technique, number one, for children, and to be able to take them on international trips so they can feel the soccer community throughout the world. And that was basically my philosophy throughout the years. So when it got too big, I wasn't able to control all the other teams, and they had different philosophies and different ways of playing, basically.
I see. And with this new club that you're opening, let's give everybody the name of the club. What is the name of the new club you've opened?
It's my initials, CZ, Sharif Zain Soccer Club, basically. Just a name, just to have a name. I didn't want to affiliate myself with anyone, just to have a team name. So we decided to go with CZ Elite.
Yeah, very simple, you know, and plus Sharif, I mean, come on. You know, you've gone to like a Brazilian player now, Sharif. We don't even use your last name anymore. All
yeah, no one knows about
you. It's just Sharif.
Exactly.
And everybody knows who it is. Sharif, oh, we know who Sharif is. So that is CZ Elite Soccer Club. Is that in Pasadena, or where is that going to be?
In Pasadena. At Pasadena High School we train, and then we'll be playing in the fields nearby, Blair High School, and also in Monrovia. For our club season. Some of the teams that we have are in Premier, therefore we'll be playing in the Premier fields, which is usually the Oaks and UC Irvine.
I see. Did any teams from Barcelona follow you and join you in your club?
Yes, the 14 teams that, like I told you, that trained with us on our field, they all stayed with in our group.
Okay.
So we have 14 teams. We have 5 gold teams and 2 Premier teams. And then the rest are Silver Elite and the new kids, the U9s and the U10s.
Are you going to be personally coaching any of these teams, or are you just pretty much just stay behind the scenes and be the president or the director of coaching?
I'm going to work with my original team, the under-16s, this year. There will be under-17 Premier. The 14 girls gold, there will be 15. And my 11 gold, there will be 12 next year. So I'll keep those 3 teams working with them close. And then, of course, helping all the other coaches in our club. We have a nice system here where we rotate coaches and in practice, and we mix it up a lot to be able to interact with each other.
Explain about that rotating coaches. Do you rotate coaches as far as practice, or are you rotating the coaches as far as games during coach time?
Pretty much practice, but sometimes we cover for each other at games, so the kids get to meet other coaches and other ways of teaching the same thing, actually, but different styles. So we have different, very good coaching staff from different countries and different cultures, and they have a different approach to teaching the same thing, actually, soccer, but with different angles.
You don't feel that rotating the coaches, especially during game time, if those particular coaches are not with those particular players during practice, don't you think that kind of would affect the game as far as the type of style they play?
It does, of course it does. Yeah, but we don't switch that much just to cover if a coach has a prior commitment with another team. Some coaches have 2 teams. I have 3 teams, so sometimes I'm not able to be at all the games at once. So we have assistants that work with me during the practice, and they know the kids well, that we rotate sometimes when we have important games. We'll bring in the top coaches for those games. Because
and,
from the games, you will learn how to practice. The games dictate the practice.
Okay. And what type of staff do you have? Any of the coaches from Barcelona came over with you? I mean, who's your staff right now?
The same coaching staff that we've had before. The same people that were working here, they all stayed here. Everyone stayed here. No one moved.
Okay. And who are they? Who are the coaches?
We have Edgar Manvelian. He coaches high school at Burbank. He's been with me for 6-7 years. We have Afshin Alborzin, one of my former players. that played at Cal State LA. He's here with the same team now for the last 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. We have several coaches that are working in the youth program that Henry Cabral is a teacher and a coach at Blair High School in Pasadena. He's involved with that program. And we have a lot of guest coaches that I bring in. Tony Rogel from El Salvador plays them professionally in El Salvador. He comes and walks around and checks the players, and we meet afterwards. I live across the street from the field, so it's ideal. It's an office and has equipment, and we're able just to walk across 20 feet and be in my home and be able to meet after practice and discuss what we should do in next practice. So it's a pretty nice system that we run here.
And your development and goals and philosophy, is it pretty much the same as what it was with FC Barcelona, or have you built
the same
style?
The same. I believe in pitching technique, because we develop the individual. Because the team is great, but the individual is the one that's going to move on from this level. So we have to be able to develop the individual so he can learn the proper techniques to be able to use them on another team when he moves on. Goes to another club, goes to a university, whatever he chooses to play, he would have developed the technique to play. Not just to play in the game, but individual technique to go to another team, to be able to play on another team.
Mm-hmm. And what are the colors? What are the colors, and who's going to be your sponsor for apparel?
I have a grassroots contract with Nike for the last 9 years. So I have to wear Nike, and I always wear Nike, and they've been very good to me, so I've always been there. I always sell their product. I push their product all the way. So we're going to wear white and black for the first season, and that will be our primary colors for our club.
White and black, I see. Okay. And your club fees, are they pretty much the same, what FC Barcelona?
Yeah, I don't get involved with the club fees. This is run by our president, Magic Berenji, and our vice president, Janet Eaton, that they control the... We have a foundation that helps a lot of kids. We've always... That was what Paul and I did at the beginning. That was Paul's vision, to get the Latino community involved within club soccer. And I think that he did that. He was amazing. The first year, we was able to infiltrate all the local leagues and bring them over. And he did a great job. That was the beginning of the move, of bringing all the kids from the different groups in Ontario, in San Bernardino, in Oxnard, to bring the Santa Ana, for example, to go bring the kids to be able to work together with the other kids that did not have that experience as kids playing soccer with their dads, for example. So the Latino community was not involved with the Coast Soccer League and CYSA. And now if you look around, it's amazing. After 5-6 years, everybody's well mixed, and there's a lot of Latinos playing within the CYSA and the Coast Soccer League.
It seems that when you were with FC Barcelona, you and Paul, when you guys founded the club, it was more directed towards Latino players, and it seems
correct
that you're doing pretty much the same thing, same as other clubs out here in San Fernando Valley, who are not turning away any kids just because they don't have the finances, that you're helping them out regardless, and you want them to play, and you want to develop them. So that's nice. I mean, there's a couple other clubs out here in San Fernando Valley that pretty much do the same thing, that really don't take any money. Valley Boys Soccer Club is one of them that I know out here in San Fernando Valley that pretty much was dedicated and founded for the Latino players and keeping the cost down and things like that. You know what? Now that we're into cost here, obviously you've been around a long time. What do you think about the high cost of certain clubs and what they charge their players compared to what...
Hugo Salcedo told me a story a long time ago. We played together, Hugo Salcedo. His son is a coach at UCLA. He told me if Maradona and Pelé lived in L.A., they would have never played soccer. And I go, you're right, because it's so expensive to be able to play. It's like swimming, tennis, golf. Very difficult to infiltrate the leagues, and the cost is so high for everything. So I'm very happy to say that I've never, ever turned down a kid from coming to my camp or to any of the teams because he didn't have the correct amount to come and play. If he was able to compete and he was able to maintain the level, we would find a way to help him. And we've done that with our under-16s. They've been all over the world. They have played in Brazil twice, Costa Rica and Barcelona. And we have managed to take him to this Dallas Cup three times, helping him. You know, imagine how many trips, and they don't have any money. 8 or 9 of them are completely sponsored and helped. So a lot of generous people in the soccer community, a lot of former players that made it big at UCLA or at SC when I coached, and they come back and they donate a lot to our foundation to be able to help these kids travel.
That's good. Well, you know, that's the whole thing. It's for the kids, and it seems like you guys are got a nice program over there. This new club that you're opening is going to have a nice program, and you got the same values, and you have the same goals and philosophies. So that's good. I mean, bringing back Maradona and Pelé that you were talking about, I don't think they would play soccer. I'm curious to know what exactly they would actually say when they would find out exactly how much fees are here for club soccer. How would they be able
to afford it? It would be impossible. Because I travel to Brazil, I go to Egypt, I see kids on the streets in clubs in Mexico, in Guadalajara, and so forth. And, of course, the club helps the kids, vice versa. Here we have to pay the club. So one day, hopefully, this will change around for the... I'm talking about the elite players now, not just the club for entertainment. But to develop correct players at the high level, we need to help them. You know, we have to facilitate them coming to us and getting the kids from the poor neighborhoods that maybe can't afford it and bring them into our club. And I've helped a lot, and I'm not saying this for the last 30 years. I've always done that. I'm trying to help people and try to push them into the program.
Do you think that the club player out here is kind of spoiled? I mean, you know, I grew up in South America. I'm from South America, and I do know that basically things are a lot different over there. Out here, you know, they got immaculate fields that look like pool tables. They got lights. They got equipment. They got this and that. When I was growing up, basically, we'd take two socks, roll it up into a ball, and we'd call it pelota de trapo, and that's how we would play in the streets. Do you think the club players out here may be a little too spoiled, and that's probably why we're not developing soccer out here too well?
Well, what I think is I grew up in Africa, like Europe and South America, and we would collect Nestle coupons to buy a plastic ball between the whole apartment building and then lay on the street until the police came and picked up the ball. And then we struggled. We didn't have any goals, but we played all the time. You know? So you're right. Once we get the kids to play on their own, when I see kids in the park just playing without a coach and just hungry to play like they do in basketball, the black athletes, they play all day long, 6 hours. That is amazing. When I see that happening, I think it'll be the time. Like you say, in South America, they play in the streets, any piece of land between cars. When we get that, then we'll get the numbers of quality players already developed.
I agree with you. I don't think sometimes, two-day practices a week, 2 hours per practice is really going to develop our players. You've got to be able to play on your off time and be able to play every single day, and with the ball, manipulate that ball. And that's what the kids do in other countries. That's all they're doing. Kids sneaking out of school, kids basically sneaking out in their home playing till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. You just see a bunch of kids out there just playing soccer. And you know, they don't care if they don't have any shoes or anything like that. They're just playing it for the heart of the game. That's the whole point.
Correct. It's exactly. They have to be self-motivated. We are coaches out of their eyes. They don't watch enough television to watch games. They have to. I get up at 5 in the morning to watch every game. I sometimes don't go to school or go to work to watch the Champions League at 11:30. I'm addicted. You know, you have to be that way to be able to watch. When you watch, you learn. That's part of your learning process. You need to watch games, and you need to know players around the world and watch, support MLS as much as possible. But the key games in the world, the Boca Juniors, the River Plate, the classic games in Europe, Milan, Inter Milan, those are the games that you learn because those are high-level NBA type of soccer. You know, it's like the NBA, but plays with unbelievable games. And kids don't see that. I ask, how many games did you watch? Zero. They have to watch at least a game a week, at least. They don't even do that. So that's important, because when you watch, you learn. It's part of your learning process.
Exactly. Oh, I agree with you 100%. And I also feel that there might be a better learning process for the youth player if there were more than one league to be able to, for each club to participate in. I mean, we have a great league, Coast Soccer League. It's probably one of the most prestigious leagues here in the nation. But it seems like this is the only league club soccer is able to play in. And I just want to know, what are your thoughts about that? Do you think we should get more leagues out here in Southern California for the club teams to play?
I think at the younger ages, the travel should be restricted to within an area, and there's enough places, I mean, that you could have different leagues from maybe until under 12 or 13, and then go at the high competitive level to have, you know, the gold and the silver elite and so forth levels. Because when you have a team that's under 11 and they have to win games, coaches use the long ball tactics and the negative coaching to be able to get results so they
at a young age
stay in gold. Otherwise, they drop.
Yeah.
Once they drop, five or six kids leave, then he loses his job. So it's too young of an age. I don't remember when I played having these levels. I just learned I played. And then later on, they pick the best players to go on to the next level, play under the professional flagship of a team. So that's very important because it puts a lot of pressure on young coaches, and we have a lot of young coaches, to win at any cost by playing long ball, taking chances that they wouldn't do normally, just to maintain or playing a very, very low pressure defense. So you're not teaching the kid how to play the game. You're teaching to win games at a very young age, and that's negative. You have to teach also to keep the ball possession, teach them the game of soccer, and
not result
at a very young age.
I agree with you 100% on that. I mean, you talked about pressure being put in at a young age to these coaches. You think the pressure is being put by the club or by the parents or by both?
By the parents, because if a kid is not, mothers will come to me and say, Sharif, if you don't maintain your goal status with this under-11 team, I'm gone. So then what do? I go back and kick the ball long or teach him the same thing I was teaching him all year, how to develop? Because I'm developing a kid not for now. I'm developing the kid to go on to the next level at 16, 17, which is the most important age to develop. Some kids cannot run at 11 or 12. They're not mature. Maybe 13, 14. They mature. Maybe 16, 17 in some cases.
No, 100%. I mean, I see different styles of plays for a very young age. I see your technical, when you're under 9, under 10, I see the long ball play because it's a short field. You know, it's 40, 50 yards wide by 60, 70 yards long. You know, you got that long ball being played. The goalie goes from one end to the other. Boom, in 2 seconds, you got to score. And they're teaching them that way to win. And then when those under 10s are moving up to under 11, a bigger size field, it's a whole different story. The long ball is pretty much obsolete. And then they have not been taught to have the ball in the midfield, to control the ball, to dribble the ball, to make the proper decisions when they have the ball. And the long ball for me at a young age, I don't agree with.
In Costa Rica, I like the idea. They play very small goals, so their scores are 0-0, 1-0. There's not enough goals. To teach them to pass the ball and crowd it so they can learn to play the ball short, lots of wall passes. So they play 11-11 sometimes on a half a regular field, but they keep the goals very small. So, in other words, they have to pass the ball. And then at the 12, they open it up more with bigger goals. Because it's unfair to have a little kid in the size of a humongous goal. So the kid that has a long ball, he's just kicking. Any free kick is a goal. So it doesn't make any sense, actually.
Exactly. What do you think about CYSA's rules once the kid moves up to under 11? Under 9, under 10, they're playing 8v8. Once they move up to that under 11 age, do you still feel it should either just be a 9v9, or do you think they're strong enough to play 11v11?
I personally, I think they should play, like in Spain, until 12, maybe, small version games. And then at 12, maybe you can start open it up a little more. For me, it's all about developing your technique and your passing. And it's fun to play it on 8-7. I love indoor soccer. I played at UCLA with a Brazilian club in the 70s. Every Wednesday night, indoor soccer, 5-on-5 tight with a hard, hard ball that didn't bounce. It develops touch and beauty, you know. That's what it's all about. Pass and movement without the ball.
Exactly. Oh, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, I feel that under 11 at 11v11 might be a little too much for them. Shorten the field down, make it 9v9 at U11, possibly at U12, go U11, or maybe start at U11 at U12. But I don't think those kids that once they mature from U10 to U11 are strong enough to play on the big field yet.
I played a game this year under 11. The field was 120 by 75. It's impossible. It's too big. It's not good for the kids that much running. They need to touch the ball more often. Lots of touches.
Yeah, lots of touches. I agree with you 100%. And the short-sided games are great. The micro-soccer, the indoor soccer, like you're talking about, that's when you touch the ball, to me, it develops the kid a lot better. You know, more touches, better, quicker decision-making, more control of the ball and things like that. Even the size of the ball. I still feel that under 9, under 8 kids should not be using a size 4. In South America, those kids at that age are using a size 3. And then once they reach a 10-year-old, they're using a size 4. And that goes all the way up probably to 13 years old. At 14, you're using the regulation size ball, which is number 5.
Sure.
Yeah. That's
right. fast in developing too much about winning, and it's still a lot of winning. And it's good to do it later on. Yeah, I'm very competitive. I want to win everything, you know, as a player, as a coach, it's normal. But also you must be patient with the kids and teach them just to play a little bit short-sided games, small goals. All my practices are small goals. I go to small goals, quickly moving the ball, lots of touches, all with the ball, technique with the ball, number one.
And, you know, a lot of things I see at practices, and they're not a good coaches. You know, they're working exactly what you're talking about, the short-sided game. They're teaching the ball control, a lot of movement with the ball. But you know what? There's one player there that he's not being worked on a lot, and that's always the goalkeeper. And a lot of coaches, whether you are an AYSO coach, a recreational coach, a club coach, a high school coach, they neglect that position to work with. And sometimes, man, you can win games and lose games with a good goal, you know, with a good goalie, good prepared goalie. And I don't see a lot of coaches working out the keepers the way they should be.
But exactly. I feel the same way. I think our coaches in California are better coaches than anywhere in the world. I mean, there's so much coaching going on, over-coaching, you know. And kids are kids. I'm a teacher. I'm a school teacher. I was teaching 20 years after UCLA. So I like to teach, and some of these young coaches, they want to work so much, they overcoach sometimes. It's a very simple at this age, and it's a simple game. So you have to make everything simple and play. Not too much waiting in line, not kids waiting, you know, 5 minutes to pick a ball. Everybody should be moving. Everybody should have a ball and be working on the ball while even they're standing, touching the ball. Because we only have 2 days a week, and if one kid misses one day, that's 50% of your practice.
Exactly.
For other countries at 13, 14, they begin now the 3 or 4 days a week at 14, and we don't do that twice a week, and so we get behind. Then we play high school. We also get behind 3 months, and then multiply by four. That's another year that we don't get to work with the kids full year round. So we get behind at 14, 15, and then you notice that, of course, at 16, some kids are really in reserva, and we're not. We're playing still, you know, club, and those other kids are already looking up to a professional player ahead of them and trying to crack the starting lineup at 17. Lots of Europeans now, 17, 18 is the starting age. So.
Yeah, I agree with you. Are you going to be doing any clinics over the summer, Sharif?
Yes, we're bringing a coach from Barcelona to work with us, a friend of mine that works with the Barcelona program. He's coming to Orange County to do a session for us, Carlos Bueno. He worked with Iniesta and with Xavi and those early players when they were young. He's coming to a clinic. I'm going to do a couple of clinics here in Pasadena, one at Pasadena City College, where I coach college, and one in the Victory Park here in Pasadena High School, where I have I coach the high school team here also. So I'll use one clinic here, one clinic at Pasadena City, and one in Orange County.
Oh, and what high school do you coach?
I coach Pasadena High School.
Okay.
And this summer I'm busy. I'm going to Moscow to see the Champions Final in May, and then I'm going to the Euro Cup for the first 2 weeks of the Euro Cup in Austria and Switzerland. Visit my family and friends, and then I come back, and hopefully if you make one of the teams next regionals, we'll go to Hawaii June 16th. Still basketball.
And what age is going to Hawaii?
If we make it, 14 girls are in the Far West regionals this weekend. We'll see how we do. 16 mm-hmm. boys and the 15 boys. 15
and
boys were in the
13.
Finals of Dallas. Pardon?
Your boys 13 made it to the finals at Dallas Cup.
They won. There was a mix of three teams from our club that actually went there. The coach did a great job there in Dallas, and they wanted to beat a very, very good Southampton team.
And you said the mix of three teams. What three teams were they mixed with?
There were three teams from Barcelona, two from one side, and then nine from another side, and then four from the goal team, seven from the goal team, pardon me. So it was a mixture team that got to the finals from the club, and that's what the club is all about, to be able to mix and use the players. That's what every country has. Maybe it's 200 kids at one level, and then they find the gems from those kids and form a great team.
Yeah, they did very well. I was checking them out. They did. If I'm not mistaken, some of those boys that went to Dallas Cup are actually some of the players from the goal team from Justo, right? From Justo, who used to be with FC Barcelona?
Yeah, correct. They were four-time state champions when they came here, like my... seven teams were four-time state champions. That's the team that Paul Walker was running. Yeah, we've had a lot of success with the players. They mixed very well. You know?
Uh-huh.
You know, I learned Spanish when I was young, and I didn't know why I was learning Spanish, and it was for a reason, because one day I would come to America, and I would use my Spanish and my French, and the Armenians are coming into town sometimes. They're bringing in kids that play soccer. So with all the contacts that I've had, I get very lucky. I get a lot of players, like Yura Molsisian that's playing for the Real. He came to me at 14, and we trained him, then he played for Arsenal. He ended up playing for my high school and my college. And he was a fourth-round pick, and he's a forward for Real Salt Lake. So in this area of Pasadena, we get a lot of foreign influences, you know, from all over the world, from Egypt and from Ethiopia and from Armenia especially. So we get very lucky. We get some kids that come in at 13 or 14 that already have a lot of passion for the game, and they already played a little bit in the countries.
I see. And when you guys were in Dallas, obviously that's kind of like a melting pot for the scouts from universities to go take a look at players. Was there any players from your team that got a great showing that anybody was interested in?
Yes, you know, a few years back, Felipe Rodriguez, that's coaching now for LAFC, he went to El Monte High School. They saw him at the Dallas Cup, and I flew him out at 15 and a half, 16 to Standard Liège because of one scout at the Dallas Cup that saw him from Chicago and sent him to Standard Liège in Belgium, the French-speaking Belgium. And I went with him. I actually flew with him, and they were ready to sign him at before 17 to be a citizen of Belgium. But he was homesick, but came back and ended up playing for the MLS for the Colorado Rapids. Ironically, he played a few years with an MLS. So there's people that have eyes everywhere looking for talent in every major tournament. So you always have to tell my players, you never know who's watching you. This past weekend we played in a small game, and there were many scouts from Cal State Fullerton, San Luis Obispo, and even Maryland University contacted me about some of the players on the under 16. So you never know who's going to be around watching, especially when you have good teams and you play in good tournaments, or sometimes just in a far west regional game, people will come to watch. So
exactly.
You have to be ready to play at all times.
Exactly. Exactly. Keep those shoes there in the trunk and just bring them out. Hey, we got a question for you here on our soccer radio chat room. We have a question from Pam. She claims that you didn't answer the questions about the goalies. Her question to you is, what about training goalies? Is it important?
Oof. Goalkeeping, for me, number one position. I'm not blessed, but sometimes with very good keepers. My team always makes one mistake. Dallas Cup, we dropped the ball. We lost the game. We were out. The other Dallas Cup in the final, goalkeeper dropped the ball. So you need to have those saves made. With those saves made, the game is tied, or you go through on points. So my to Pam, number one is the goalkeeper, because that's the one that changes the whole game. When I had a great keeper at San Francis, Anton Nistel, that played at UCLA all 4 years, he saved the whole team. The team wasn't very strong, but he put us in the game. Every game we were in the game because of one player, the goalkeeper. So I make sure that all my players get goalkeeping practice. One goalkeeper trainer, they must come. They also must come to the shooting clinic and get pounded 1,000 shots, because those are the situations that they're going to see during the game. Shots right in front of them from 10 yards. Most of the goals are scored from close range to give them reaction time. So answering our question, Pam, number one, the coach, we don't pay enough attention to the goalkeepers. We have to do more to warm up the keeper and to give him a special instruction, because he's the savior of the team.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. So I hope that answers your question, Pam, and we thank you for listening to Soccer Radio. So, you know what, Sheree, we went on a whole 360-degree turn. I asked you all kinds of questions and things like that. I want to come back about your club, about your new club. Tell everybody, what is the website address? If you got a phone number, if it's ready, that people can contact the club, new players that want to join the club, because it seems like the talk right now on the forum right here is that everybody wants information about this new club. So why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about it.
The club is basically the club that I had before that I trained, the 10 teams that I trained, 14 teams here at Pasadena High School. Phone number is 626-296-1262. And they can leave a message, and we'll call them right back. And we do camps and clinics, and I love to take kids to different countries to see how other people live and what they have and they don't have, so we can appreciate what we have in this country. Basically, Costa Rica, and do Europe, we do South America, we do Australia. I even took them to Egypt to see how different people live, and just to give them a glimpse of life and how people live and how much people love soccer in other countries. It's a first sport. It's here we have to go like the Islamic papers, look from the right to the left, where, because there's nothing, there's no news. In other countries, the first 6-7 pages is all about soccer, and here is the opposite at the end, and sometimes there's nothing. So the kids don't get reinforcement, and they need them.
Yeah. And do you have an email address, just in case they didn't catch that number, where you
can Yes, it's my name, Sharif Soccer, C-H-E-R-I-F, Soccer, S-O-C-C-E-R, at earthlink.net. And I'll be more than happy to help anybody. I'm open to anybody. I work with other clubs if they need something, scrimmages. I'm always open to help. I'm here for soccer. I'm not here for myself or for glory. I don't need the glory. I just need best teams to play to compete with the rest of the world and to put the kids into a college, or if they have a dream to play professionally, give them that chance.
That's great. So I take it, how many teams you got going to be playing? How many teams do you have right now that are going to be playing in Pro Soccer League in fall?
14.
14 teams.
Correct.
And are they all boys or mostly girls? Or
I have three girls and the rest boys.
Okay, so you listeners out there, obviously, they got room for girls' teams and boys' teams. And just in case you didn't get a chance to catch that phone number that Sharif gave out, the number was 626-296-1262. That's 626-296-1262. Or you can email Sharif at sharifsoccer@earthlink.net. That's sharifsoccer@earthlink.net. Is the website up for the club yet or no?
No, not yet, but the sharifsoccer.net, and they can click onto the website, sharifsoccer.net, and they can access the coaching and all the things from there.
Great. Well, Sharif, we thank you so much for being on our show this evening. You gave a lot of information, and obviously you're doing some good stuff out there. I know you and I have met a couple of times, and I just enjoy your team's playing, and I'm sure that this new club that you've started is going to be about the same philosophies and guidelines and goals that FC Barcelona started with. So you are going to be around for a long time. So we wish you good luck for fall. Thank you so much for being with us on Soccer Radio. And if you missed those phone numbers and the email address, go ahead and email us at soccerradio@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to send that back to you with all the information. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come right back with some more stuff on Soccer Radio. This is Johnny Ventura. You're tuned in to Soccer Radio.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge, bringing humanity closer to truth. BBSRadio.com.
Soccer Radio on BBSRadio.com on the World Wide Web. If you're just tuning in, you missed yourself a great show. We had an incredible guest with us, Sharif Sain, who is the co-founder of FC Barcelona and the DOC over there, and he talked about his new club that he is starting, and he gave us information. We just chatted a little bit about soccer and what his philosophies are and what his dislikes and likes are in club soccer. So if you missed this show, obviously we will always have an archive of every show. So the archives are usually put up after midnight. Just go ahead and log on to BBSRadio.com. become a member, and you can listen to the archives. You can even go back to our very first show and listen to it. So every show will be on an archive. I want to take this minute before we sign off here, as I mentioned on the top of the hour, that we had a few emails that came in from last week's show. Last week's show was dedicated to club mergers. We had Josh Hodges, the DOC from Legends FC, from the girls program, was with us. We talked about the merger that created Legends FC. And also in our second half hour, we had Steve Badden, who was the president of South Bay Soccer Club, South Bay, that merged with Force. So let me take this time to read some emails that came in. We have an email from R. Barrios. He says, I think that the merger between Glendora FC and Stampede was a good one because it took two clubs which were each established and healthy and joined to bring quality boys teams and quality girls teams together and strengthen the clubs as a whole. This merger wasn't like the Arsenal Southwest merger that is done for Fields and now kids from Al Paloma have to drive 45 minutes to home games. That, too, to me, is out of necessity and not about development of the player. So we'd like to thank R. Barrios for sending us that email. Our second email comes from M. Simmons. I guess merging two clubs is really the only way to survive these days against the powerhouses like FC Barcelona, West Coast, Strikers, and so on. Let's hope that this merger was done for the right reasons. So that came in from M. Simmons. And we're going to get another email here that came in. There were a lot of other emails with questions, but we cannot ask Josh and Steve any more questions. They're no longer with us, so we're just going with comments. This one came in from A. Kleiderman. I'm just tired of clubs merging together. They always talk about the merging is good for soccer, is good for the kids. Why don't they just say what it really is good for, their wallets? Money seems to be the main common denominator in club soccer. Big turnaround there from A. Kleiderman. We thank you for your emails, and if you did not get an email in for Sharif this program, just go ahead and send it in. We'll be glad to read it on our next week's show here on Soccer Radio. And speaking of next week's show, you don't want to miss that show. We are going to have a very, very special guest. Okay, his name is Eric Winalda. Eric Winalda will be here live on Soccer Radio. So we're going to talk to Eric a little bit about his youth playing, about his professional days, about his time working over at ESPN, and about his new endeavors. He was just hired by one of the major clubs out here in Southern California as a coach, and he is starting an academy with that club. So you don't want to miss that show. That is next Wednesday at 7:55. Eric Winalda will be live here at Soccer Radio. We'd like to thank you for joining us this evening. It was a pleasure to broadcast again here for you guys. This is what we're here for, to give out information about club soccer in Southern California. If you want comments, questions answered, soccerradio@gmail.com. That's soccerradio@gmail.com. If you don't feel like turning on that computer, you're welcome to give us a call here on our studio line. That's 818-340-6509. That's 818-340-6509. Working hours, of course. And one of our interns who happens to be here will be glad to answer any questions that you might have. Okay, this is Johnny Ventura signing off. Thank you so much for listening again to Soccer Radio, everybody. We will see you next week for another show of Soccer Radio with Eric Winalda. Good night, everybody. Good night.